rest of chapter 7 this morning, although there's a lot of verses there in 14 through 25. We come now to a section of Paul's epistle in the book of Romans, in chapter 7, that's been a source of debate for many years. In fact, some scholars and theologians over the years have thought it that it means one thing, and then they've changed their mind and believed it means another thing. And some even today, still among us, debate what Paul is referring to here. See, there are two predominant views that are set forth in this section of Scripture. And one view is that Paul is speaking here in the past. He deliberately uses the present tense, but he's speaking about the past, before he was a Christian, before he was a follower of Christ. The other view is that Paul is speaking presently, when he wrote, when he was already a Christian. And I wrestle with this and that myself pretty much over the years. And to be quite frank and honest with you, I'm still not sure which way I come down on it. Perhaps we could see it in both ways. That you could see it in the past as before you're a Christian, and you can see it as a Christian. And perhaps the reason why it is so difficult to see and to understand, because there's admittedly good reason for both views. Perhaps the reason that it is so difficult is because what we are dealing with, I put it down here, and then I'll erase that later, is this dichotomy, flesh and spirit. So look at what Paul says. Can you come to your own conclusions about whether or not you think he's talking about the past or he's talking about the present? In verse 14, we have a transitional statement, which sums up verses 7 through 13 of the chapter. And this is what Paul says. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold in bondage to sin. So now you see how people can have different views of that. If Paul's speaking already as a Christian, how could he be sold in bondage to sin? Isn't it true that once we become a Christian, we're no longer in bondage to sin, right? How could we be under the power of sin if we're already a Christian? How could Paul be under the bondage of sin if he's already a Christian? What's that? We're going to get to that, Pat. Think of it this way. Paul says, for we know that the law is spiritual. How is the law spiritual? What's that?
It came from the Lord.
Exactly. It came from God. It has to do with it. Remember what Paul said earlier. Verse 12, so then the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. What makes it holy, righteous, and good? Because God gave it. So this is why this is a transitional statement in verse 14. Paul says, for we know that the law is spiritual. But I'm of flesh. Now, this is what you have to see here. Paul says, I'm of flesh sold into bondage to sin. What does he mean by the flesh? Now, see, some of your translations, especially the New International Version, is notorious for this, but it comes from their bias and their presuppositions. And they say sinful nature. The word that is used there, that Paul uses, does not mean sinful nature. It means flesh. It means the physical body. But is all we are made up of is flesh? See, that's what many people think today. We're just material. We're just organic matter. Don't know how it all came about, but that's all we are. Nothing else. Now, we know that some people live that way, don't they? As if they are. But when Paul says that I'm of flesh, he's just simply saying that I'm of flesh. I have a physical body. For we know that the law is spiritual. But then he says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, what I would wish to do. It's a word that is used there. But I am doing the very thing I hate. Now here's an apostle. Paul, servant of Christ, he's got powers that you and I don't have that was given to him, gifts that the Lord gave him. He can heal and do those things. Scriptures tell us that. And here he is saying these things. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. Get this. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is in my flesh. Now that's an important distinction here. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very thing evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer this one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. So, you see where that confusion can be? How could Paul be speaking of this as a Christian? Surely. And that's what people want to say. It was in the past. Paul's using the present tense, but he means the past. Because as a Christian, he could not experience any of these things. That surely had to come before he was a Christian. But when Paul mentions the flesh, again, it's not sinful nature. He uses the word sarkanos. And sarkanos in the Greek always refers to the physical part of the self. The Greek adjectives that end in anos always indicate the material out of which something originates, out of which something is made, not the quality. If it was quality, which would be, by the way, meaning sinful nature, your character or quality, the word that Paul would have used would have been sarkakos. That means quality. But he didn't use that word. He used sarkanos, which means dealing with the material of which something is made. So he is referring to his flesh. So what Paul is saying here, he's not saying that flesh, and we have to get this, he's not saying that our physical part of us, flesh, is inherently sinful. He is saying that the physical part of us, our body, is only an occasion for sin. Now, Paul speaks in the present tense. Does he use that deliberately for the past or the present? So ask yourself, even as a Christian, do you still experience what Paul is saying here? Can you say that you've overcome those things? Did Paul, as a Christian, as an apostle, did he still sin even though he didn't want to? Even after a Christian, he became a Christian. Or did he sin, do those things he didn't want to do before he was a Christian? But then after he became a Christian, he no longer did that. See, that's what the reason why some want to put that in the past. Because they say, if Paul's a Christian, Paul the apostle, now an apostle, now a follower of Christ, now a Christian, he couldn't say those things. But let me ask you, did Paul or any other of the other apostles, when they became Christians, when they became followers of Christ, did they stop sinning? Did they stop doing those things which are wrong? Were they perfect? Did they become perfect as soon as they arose out of the watery grave of baptism? See, people, brothers and sisters, some people have the idea that when you come out of the baptistry, you got it made. And some people are taught that you shouldn't do anything wrong anymore. That you shouldn't sin. Well, you shouldn't. That's true. But they teach there's something wrong with you if you do. But see what Paul is saying here. He's giving us the nature of what happens to us. He is telling us that, yes, we're still flesh. But the inner part of us, our inner being, that inner self, is our spirit. And it encompasses, indeed, our minds. Now, in this translation, a better translation of this verse is when he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin." And he goes on, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want." Paul is saying that he still sins even though he doesn't want to. And I think when he's using the present there, he's talking about himself now. He still does things he doesn't want to. Now, the I, Paul uses the word I a lot there. When he's using the word I, he's referring to his spirit, his inner man, not his whole self, not his flesh. He's talking about his inner being. And this is what we've got to get through to ourselves. Yes, we are still flesh. And it's not that that flesh is evil or anything. For goodness sake, God created us flesh. But he also created a spirit. And that's what's important. For when you and I die, and people don't want to come to grips with that, is their end. But when you and I die, our flesh is going to be in the ground or burned up or what have you. That's our flesh. But is that all? Are we done for then? What's left? Our spirit. Our inner being. That's what goes to the abode of the dead, not our flesh. And that's what Paul is talking about. There are many, of course, who believe that we just go on the ground, that's it. And just like worm, we die. And that's it. Takes a rah-rah, you're done. Or as a friend of mine believes, you just wink out of existence. So what? Sometimes I want to tell people who believe that and say, well, why don't you just wink out of existence now? If you don't think there's any purpose in life, if you don't think you have any purpose and nobody else has any purpose, why keep going on? Why not just will yourself to die? Oh, but I want to live. Why? You know, some people tell you that, that they have no purpose in life. They're not here for any reason. You ask them, tell them that once. Ask them that. Why are you still going on? Well, because I'm here. Evolution did it. Well, why? There's no purpose. There's no reason. But Paul shows us here that there indeed is a reason. Now, there's two key words in the text here that Paul uses. Want and hate. That represents one's basic inner attitude as a Christian. Paul is saying, I have a desire to do what is right. I have a desire to obey God's law. I want to do it. But I don't do it. Now you think of a person who is not a Christian. Do they have a desire to obey God? No. And the desire, but Paul says he has that desire. And that's also an essential aspect of repentance, is that you have the desire, you have the will, the wanting to surrender your life to him, to make a change. That's why I like what Brother Cottrell says concerning this, that as we gladly receive God's law and we meditate upon it, it lodges within us. It lodges within our inner being, within our spirit. And it begins to shape, as he says, actually reshape our lives from within, conforming our spirits to its own moral configuration. And that's what Paul is saying here. And brother and sister, here's the rub. Because just Paul's an apostle, yes. But just as Paul, we ourselves find conflict within. And again, it's that matter of the flesh and the spirit that is in conflict. The key distinction that Paul is using here, that what he's bringing out, is between sin, doing that which is wrong, and the inner self or spirit. Now, some people would say, okay, well, I have an excuse then. But there's no excuse here. Paul is just giving an explanation. Because, see, some people think that, well, I still do these things even though I'm a Christian, so that absolves me of responsibility. But it doesn't absolve anybody of responsibility for one's actions. Now, when you look at verses 18 to 20, he's just restating what he says in verses 14 and 17. You see, what Paul is showing here, he is showing the absolute necessity of being under grace and not under law. Paul is showing that by any law, the law of Moses or any other law, that God has revealed, you cannot be saved by that because you can't keep it. Now, when Paul says in verse 15, for what I am doing I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I wish to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. And then when he said, for the good that I want I do not do, but I practice very evil that I do not want, the King James Version translates it as it is the same, but they are not. In verse 15, when you look at that, Paul is saying he talks about doing what he wished not to do. What he wished not to. But in verse 19, he deals with not doing what he wishes to do. See the difference? There is a difference there. So Paul said, good, and this is where the translation is off. For he says, for I know that nothing good. Literally, it said, good does not live in me. Why? Because Paul said, we're hindered by the weakness of the flesh. That's why people misunderstand what Paul is saying in Galatians chapter 5 when he's talking about the war there between flesh and spirit. That's another subject entirely within itself, because Paul is speaking there about our spirits and the war that is going on there. So now he explains it. I think Paul is talking about himself as a Christian, and we can identify with this. He says now, he gives the source. He says, I find my inner self, my spirit. I find then the principle that evil is present in me. The one who wants to do good. Paul said, I want to do good. But that evil is still present in me. And this is what he said. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, in the spirit. But I see a different law in the members of my body, my flesh, my physical body, waging war against the law of my mind, of my inner man, my inner being, my spirit, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my flesh, which is in my members. It says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body, from the body of this death? That's why some people want to say that Paul's talking in the past before he was Christian, because he said, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Well, as a Christian, was Paul still susceptible to death? Yes. So can you see his cry of distress and frustration there? He wants to be set free from this, from the flesh. That's why Paul would often say, my will, my desire is to be with the Lord. But for your sakes, be here. This is so important to understand. It is that between willing and doing. You see this, that even as Paul was an apostle, he analyzed things. And he tells us here in verses in 21 through 24 what he discovered. I'm giving you an illustration of this, of what Paul says. Why do we sometimes lose our temper? You know, sometimes we fly off the handle at our mate, say things that we shouldn't say. When we know we don't want to do those things. We intend not to. Or we say a cutting or a hurting word to someone, and it just comes out. Why? We don't want to, but yet they come out. And yet we do things. We say things to our mates and stuff that we shouldn't say. To our children. Our children say to us that they shouldn't say. Why? If we're already a Christian, shouldn't we have it made? Shouldn't we have it down? And not do those things? But yet we do. That's what Paul is saying. It's not an excuse for it, but he is telling us, giving us an explanation of why. It's even he did. I honestly believe this. You ever think about this? And I know some don't like to think of Paul and getting upset and mad and or the apostles doing that. But you think of when he had that disagreement with Barnabas over John Mark. I think Paul used some pretty heated words of the reason why he didn't want John Mark to go with him. Things maybe he shouldn't have said. And so as a result, Barnabas took John Mark, Paul took Silas, and they separated. And I think Paul thought about that over the years. But we know that he did see John Mark mature, didn't we? Because we know that Paul later said, send the parchments to me. Send my winter cloak, send the parchments. And, oh, by the way, send John Mark to me. Because he'll be of help to me. You see, that Paul could see that someone matured. He did. But yet, Paul is saying here, sometimes I say and I do things that I don't want to do, but I do. Why? Because I'm still flesh. And that's why he says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this? In verses 22 through 23, you have unmistakable language. Paul is contrasting the two parts of human nature. Not several, not one, but two. One, he is saying that there is a spirit and we have an inner being. Now, in verse 23, he calls it the mind. But the other is the physical flesh, my members. And that is important. It is also important to see here, brothers and sisters, that law and members are not equated. They're not the same thing. And when he says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the... he's asking a question from the body of this death. Who's going to do it? Who's going to rescue me? He wants to be obedient to God. So who's going to rescue him? He wants to be free from this body of death. I don't know about you, but I want to be free from this body of death too. Many people don't. But who sets us free from that? See? And Paul gives us the answer. Verse 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, my inner being he's talking about, am serving the law of God. But on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. So Paul says, and I do believe he's talking as a Christian, that I'm still dealing with both. But praise be to Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the one who will set us free from this body of death. He is the one who will ultimately set us free from, yes, the flesh part of it. Isn't that what he means when he talks about that when he comes back again, we'll be transformed? We won't have the same flesh. We'll have transformed, glorified bodies. Now, what you have to see here, now Paul uses the word autos ego, I myself. He's talking about the unity of his self, of his inner being. Romans 7, I do believe, in conclusion here, Romans 7 stands as a warning for us. And I believe Romans 7 stands as a warning for us as Christians. That as long as we are in this flesh, brothers and sisters, we can never please God by our own efforts. But there are so many people out there in the world who think that by whatever they do, whatever efforts they do, they can please him. But Paul tells us we can never fulfill God's way, God's law, that we will always... And that's why it's so marvelous to be under grace. We are debtors to grace. And the other thing it teaches us, I read this from, and I got this from Douglas Moo, and I believe he's correct. The other thing that we should learn from this is that we should never regard the sins that we commit with complacency. Sin is not supposed to be there. That's true. Sin is not supposed to be there. God hates sin. He hates it when we sin. But we've got to get it through to us that he has given us the power to overcome. And how do we overcome? Through Jesus. Remember what Paul said? There's not a temptation that comes our way, but we cannot overcome it. Why? Because God gives us the power to do so. So Paul is not giving an excuse here for sin. He's not giving an excuse for why he does things wrong. He's just saying, this is how it is. I'm flesh and I'm spirit. My spirit wants to do what is right. My flesh, though, sometimes overtakes, and I do what is wrong. But he's not giving an excuse for it or to continue to do it. And I think a danger in the church sometimes is that we take these things complacently when we shouldn't. Because it is a constant battle that we have and that we're going to have all the days of our life until we lead this life between the flesh and the spirit. And that's what Paul is talking about. Let's stand. We're going to sing "God Be With You" until we meet again.